good morning, sir. Now, what is your name, sir?
My name is Jim Sullivan.
This is from Spring, Florida. Okay, this whole 170, Honorable Miss Rittenhouse will be leading your hearing in just a moment, sir.
Okay, Mr. Springfield? Could you please restate your full name and your ADC number, sir?
My name is Springfield, 256-110.
Thank you, sir. I'm here appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on April 1st, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember signing that form?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on that form there's a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is you could hire, at your expense, an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself? Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look on the video screen to your right, at the very end, their left for me is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Westby, who you can see on camera right now. He is a parole officer with the Department of Corrections, so we'll represent the department and your parole officer in this hearing today. So I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Stringfellow and Mr. Westby, we solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm. Mr. Stringfellow?
I do.
And Mr. Westby?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Stringfellow, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if your supervision in the community should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, sir, I'm going to read each of these two allegations to you, and I will need you to respond whether they're true or false. So here we'll start phase one of your hearing, and the first allegation is that you were in violation. Actually, I'm going to ask you for one of three answers. It's either true, it's false, or you wish to remain silent, because I just noticed there is a department report number associated with this, which means there may have been some kind of an arrest or other criminal justice filing, and I want to give you the opportunity to remain silent, and that will protect your rights. And the reason for that is these hearings are recorded, and I want to make sure you have that opportunity, sir. So here's the first allegation, and it's that you were in violation of condition number five, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior with Ashley Morgan on or about February 24, 2019, at 1565 North Wildflower Drive, apartment 404 in Casa Grande, Arizona. Mr. Stringfellow, is that true, false, or do you wish to remain silent, sir? I'm sorry?
That is false.
False. Okay, sir. And allegation number two is that you were in violation of condition number six, as demonstrated by being in possession and control of a firearm on or about February 24, 2019, at 1565 North Wildflower, apartment 404 in Casa Grande, Arizona. Mr. Stringfellow, is that true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
That is false.
That is false. Okay. Well, Mr. Stringfellow, since you testified those are false, I'm going to take testimony from Mr. Westby of the Department of Corrections. So just hold on the line, Mr. Westby.
The Casa Grande Police Report 2019-008341. February 24, 2019, approximately 2300 hours, a friend of Stringfellow was involved in a physical assault of the victim, Ashley Morgan, at her residence located at 1565 North Wildflower Drive, apartment 404, Casa Grande, Arizona, 85122. The friend grabbed the back of Ms. Morgan's neck while pulling her to the floor. The friend struck the wall and left the residence. Shortly after she called emergency services, when her officers arrived, she refused to provide her and the offender's name. On February 25th, 2019, at approximately 0027 hours, the offender went back to Ashley's residence and banged on the front door of the apartment. Ms. Morgan did not open the door or call emergency services a second time. When police arrived the second time, the defendant was gone, and Ms. Morgan continued to not provide her and the defendant's name to respond to the officers. On February 25th, 2019, Ms. Morgan filed an updated police report for the incident that occurred February 24th, 2019, and included the defendant as the suspect. When Cass Graham Police Officer Elliott arrived at the apartment, Ms. Morgan advised she found a handgun that belonged to the defendant. Ms. Morgan produced the case to the officer Elliott and opened it. Inside was an FNH 5.7 by 28 caliber gun with three magazines, 36 5.7 by 28 caliber rounds. The defendant is in violation of engaging in assaultive behavior that occurred on or about February 24th, 2019. On March 4th, 2019, offender Stringfellow was returned to custody pending the disposition of charges. Offender Stringfellow was pending one felony count of domestic violence assault, intent to injure, provoke, and one felony count of domestic violence criminal damage to face.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. So Mr. Stringfellow, with regards to allegation number one, which is engagement in physically assaultive behavior, what is not true about this statement that Mr. Westby gave?
It never happened. It never happened at all. This woman has history. I have evidence, text messages of this lady threatening me, anything else. I'm going to test this woman.
Is this someone you had a relationship with?
Yes.
Okay.
We were together. This is my girlfriend.
Okay. I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to read the information about allegation number two. It looks like it's the same down to follow-up. Is that correct, sir?
It is correct. And the following on March 4, 2019, Freddie Stringfellow was returned to custody pending disposition charges. Freddie Stringfellow was pending one felony count in possession of daily weapon by a regular possessor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Westby. So, Mr. Stringfellow, with regard to the second allegation, being in possession and control of a firearm, sir, is that true? You said it's false. What is false about that?
I've never had it. And I've never been around one since I've been in prison. I was doing everything right. I've never done anything. I've never been around a gun or anything else.
Okay, so I'm gonna move this hearing to phase two. And I'll make a motion to do that. Hold on just a second. When we get to phase two, you can explain anything that you want to explain to the board. But as regards allegation number 1 and 2, and warrant this warrant 2019W0627, I move to find Mr. Stringfellow was delinquent. I'm lost. Am I still? Based on testimony from Mr. Westby and information in this warrant, I move to find Mr. Stringfellow was delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Neal, and agreed Mr. Pinyanis. Okay. Mr. Stringfellow, the board has voted or has found that you were delinquent and you violated the terms and conditions, but we will move to phase two of your hearing, and after Mr. Westby gives us some background information. So just stay on the line, and we'll be back with you to talk more in just a moment. Mr. Westby.
March 2nd, 2018, Mr. Stringfellow was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested March 4th, 2019 by ADC staff with pending charges. He was back in ADC custody on March 4th, 2019, with a projected community supervision end date of November 20th, 2019, 0 sign days. Prior conviction, 2010, flight from law vehicle, 9 years, 3 months. 2010, narcotic drug violation, 2 counts, each for 9 years and 3 months. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term at DOC. CUI score 3-3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs and rioting noted. Other arrests? All arrests between the years of 2008 and 2010 were either not filed or dismissed. His punitive risk score is a G2V3. I do have status of charges I received from Unit Supervisor Adler, dated April 5th, 2019, that states pending charges have been declined by the prosecutor.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, back to you, Mr. Stringfellow. With a brief written summary of what occurred while you were on supervision, it looks like you were approved to live with your mother, Ms. Braxton, at West 1st Street in Eloy. Did you live there the whole time you were out, sir?
Yes, I'm a visiting my girlfriend. Yes, I was there working.
Okay. And where were you working?
I worked for Brown Trust for a man for 2 weeks, and I had not sick as well in LA, so I couldn't work.
Oh.
And
goes
around for that.
Okay.
And then I moved in there, and I had just got a hired a job before this happened through community bridges, employees, the USA, I was working as a ball farmer, and for, they were doing a concession for both in Asia and Chicago Cubs.
Oh, okay. Oh, that must have been a fun job.
And I just got the money out of the way, and I just got the job before it was happening.
Okay. All right, sir. It looks like you were responsible to submit some urines for drug testing, and you produced one in July and September that were negative, but then in February and March of this year, there were two of them that came up positive for marijuana. So, sir, were you using marijuana?
Yes, I had a car. I had no training for my parole officer before this year, before those days. I had to go and without notice on my parole officer. But yes, I had a medical card.
And you had the approval of your parole officer to have the medical marijuana card? Did you say you had the approval?
Yeah, I had the card and he said it was okay. That's why you should be my parole officer.
Okay, let me have Mr. Westby check that. Mr. Westby, can you see any evidence of an approved marijuana card?
I see the criminal notes that there was a card that was verified October 30th, 2018 by a supervisor for Brett that showed expiration of September 23rd, 2019. It doesn't state, however, if there was approval given or not on that, just that there was verification and he didn't possess a card.
Because normally they would stop testing for marijuana, wouldn't they? If
that would be correct, but that's only after we have to have authorization from the parole manager. And so whenever there is a card submitted to the manager, then the manager will go ahead and give authorization for them to take them off a task to stop testing. Until then, they're not allowed. Just because they have a card, you still have to give
right.
to have approval.
Okay, so Mr. Stringfellow, it looks like you may have had the card, but it was not approved through parole.
My parole officer said you guys said it was okay, as long as I bring out rubber and receipts, there should be copies of receipts. Sandy Johnson approved me. I was going for what my parole officer said.
Okay.
Sandy Johnson, parole officer, she said it was okay, I'll bring her receipts.
Oh, okay. It's a little confusing in the record. It may be just an incomplete entry or something, because there's evidence that you did. I mean, it just doesn't show that it was approved. And they would have stopped testing you then for marijuana if it truly had been approved, because it makes no sense to test you for it if you're okay to have it.
Yeah.
So we'll move on from that. We'll just move on from that. So Mr. Stringfellow, you're serving two sentences right now for narcotic drugs. Have you been involved with other drug use, sir?
No, I have not.
No? What was the narcotic drug convictions for?
It was for sales of crack cocaine.
Okay, but you were not a cocaine user?
No, I am.
Okay. All right. Mr. Stringfellow, why did you stay in touch with your parole officer? When was the last time you talked to your parole officer?
The last time I was talking to my parole officer, the last time I was to come in, and I can't remember the exact name, but I never missed a day talking to my parole officer. Matter of fact, I was going to call when I first got my job. I was supposed to see her because she was returning, and I was supposed to see the new parole officer. Then when I was called,
okay,
I figured that's what it was, so I was going to explain. And I told him that before I got sent to Southrack from the parole officer, that's what I was going to.
Had you reported this contact with law enforcement to her?
I got messages on top of messages on the phone and the cell phones were I texted, I got messages on the office phone, countless messages, what was going on. I even went to the police station. I didn't run or anything, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't get a chance to fight for myself. I had evidence of stuff, and I couldn't even fight for myself.
Well, what do you think happened, sir? Tell us now, what is this evidence that you have? What happened?
I had people tell me that there was an email that I made on the door. I had text messages this woman threatening me. She has history of DD from another state. This lady has mental problems. She worked for Verizon, and they had to do help and wellness from her kids. I used to watch her kids while she was at work. Due to what she's done, she's had police come to the house as we documented from things she worked in Chandler. And the Casablanca Police Department had to send some there to do health and wellness on her kids because she said something about killing herself. She has mental problems and issues. And I couldn't deal with the arguments anymore with her. I was going there and visiting her. The kids were very good. Even the kids were scared of her. And then when I couldn't do it anymore, I told her I just can't do this. I don't want to be with her anymore. She said, oh, you're going to, that's how you're going to be. That's how you're going to be. Okay, you don't want to be with her. I bet you're going to be with anyone else. And that's what happened.
So did you go over there? Did you go over there on the 24th?
When I go over there, the day of this morning, right?
Yeah.
That's when we broke up. That day is the day we broke up. When I went over the work, I went to wash clothes because my mom didn't have a dryer. So I went over there to wash some clothes. She went there and was like, you know, I can't do this anymore, I'm going to leave. And she, and that's when all that happened, and I left. I left out of her home, myself. I even left my clothing there because I didn't know why, I just left right out of the house.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Did you know that she had a gun on the premises?
Well, she had a friend. I'm talking to my girl also about this thing. This lady, she knows. I really don't know exactly. I don't just ramble through her house. So I really don't know exactly what's there. But if there was something there, that wasn't mine. You know what I mean? This woman is cheating on me and her friends.
So this weapon, Mr. Stringfellow, this gun was not yours?
No, it was not mine. I have no weapons. I don't even leave my house. Like, I rarely even go to the store because I have PTSD. So I don't even get around people.
Okay, sir. I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to look and see, is there any other indication in the record that might be germane to this? Was the parole officer aware of this police contact and anything else that might be Mr. Stringfellow, Mr. Westby is testifying right now.
There was an office staff, and so there was no information from his PO and his supervisor, or her supervisor, Jesse Adler, put a phone entry on February 25th about the son's receiving a phone call from Ashley Morgan saying the defender kicked in her door, he stormed a weapon at her firearm at her residence, and he spoke with CCO Woods and verified Casagrande PD about the incident. CCO Woods stated Casagrande received three phone calls from Ashley saying the defender kicked in the door. There's nothing on here about any contact with the CCO Wood is advised to deliver a letter to the residents to have the offender report on 2/26/19 at Pinal Regional Parole Office. offender will be conditioned not to have contact with Ashley Morgan. Police did not charge the offender due to the lack of evidence that an event occurred. But there is nothing about any contact with Mr. Stringfellow. And if the PO is not there, the offenders are advised that they need to contact the offender, the supervisor or duty officer or somebody. Because sometimes people are sick, they're on vacation, quit, what have you. So if the person is, you're leaving messages and you're not getting anything, that's something important is this, you need to speak to another officer and let them know so they can document it. And there's no documentation in here. And I would think that the supervisor would put something in here.
Right. Okay. He indicated that he had texted and he sent numerous calls and there's no indication then.
No, there is not.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right, Mr. Stringfellow, I'm going to see if fellow board members have questions for you. I'll start with Mr. Neal has a question for you.
Now, first of all, a little bit of clarification on this agent. It says that he went in on the 26th of February to talk to the PO, and that on the 25th, the PO got a non-compliance letter. So, the contact with police that he had wasn't on the 25th, and on the 26th he went into the office and talked to the PO about it. So, the contact is 24 hours. He talked to him within 24 hours at the parole office. But Mr. Stringfellow, were you living with your girlfriend?
No, I lived with my mother. When I go to her house, I talked to my PO and she knew where I was.
Okay, and so you, when this incident occurred, you were not living in that residence with your girlfriend?
No, it was where I take my clothes. Well, I never lived there, period. I never, that was not my, when I placed the residence.
Okay.
When I was always doing it, I watched your kids and stuff like that, but I was over there a lot.
Okay, well, you don't live anywhere, okay. I don't have any other questions.
Thank you. Mr. Quinones has a question too, Mr. Stringfellow.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Stringfellow, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just have one follow-up question. You said more than once that, I guess your girlfriend, correct? Or your then-girlfriend? Who's making threats? Now, you're 6'4", 180 pounds, so what sort of threats are you talking about?
No, physical threats.
Okay.
She was telling me, she was there for me the time I was in prison. The whole time I was in prison, she was there for 7 years, none of that. And so you got together, I've known her before then. She's a champion, I love her, I'm obsessed with you. And I never really said, she had never physical threats like she was, well, actually, she has been physical threats, but like I said, man, I'm not going to complain or anything like that. And basically, she knew I'm on parole, she knows I'm on parole, I don't know two guys of parole. I'm going to never get away, and we argue with her. She said she would never do this, but like I said, I never said she's moving and she would throw me with that. Like, I would go back to jail, I'd make sure I'd get eaten and stuff like that. And when I told her that I was done and it was over, she said, well, you don't want to deal with me? You sure you don't want to deal with me? Well, I guess you don't deal with anybody else. And I left. I never touched that woman or did anything in Master's rules.
Okay, I guess it's just going to be a guess, but where do you think the firearm came from? Because it's a very high quality, expensive firearm.
You see, I don't even know what it is. I read the paperwork, I don't know what the FN is.
Well, thank you, Mr. Stringfellow. Thank you, Mr. Stringfellow.
Thank you. Any other questions for the board member? Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Wright had to. Okay, he had to excuse himself. Okay. Mr. Stringfellow, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, so I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement if you'd like to do that, sir. Is there anything else that the board should consider today, sir?
The things I'm telling you is true, the level I'm calling, I did everything that I was told to do. I stayed out of trouble, I argued and left my own. If I wasn't at home, I was watching my kids, I never been anywhere. I never had kind of public contact. But when I got the call, because I worked from 8 to 9 to like 5, I and the police as well. So I went to the police in first, that day, that same day that I heard about it, and I said, I can't remember it. So I figured, okay, I have evidence to back my plate by anything, so I wanted to get the parole office out for him, go see that, go there first. Then after that, I was running through the police station, I never touched this woman, I never did anything, I never did anything to the police, with everything, but I called, I called, when I was leaving that room, I was calling. I keep my card in my wallet, so I called every number that was in the car. I called her cell phone in the school, she's getting ready to retire soon. And they said there's no room in the mailbox, and I called, and my same text message, I had another one of his same text messages, I called the office phone. I really did everything I could do this morning, looking for looking for me, but I don't want to be with her, and she was away, she can bring me this, I've never done anything to this one, I never touched this one, I never did anything. And as an honest truth, I did everything I was supposed to do. I figured,
we do our discussion in public, so we have not talked about your case before right now. So we just ask you to remain on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. I will definitely need some discussion from fellow board members on this one, because mostly because the charges have been presented for prosecution but were declined, I find it very interesting and unusual that someone would call emergency people three times and refuse to give their information and refuse to prosecute and present this gun, which, as Mr. Quinones points out, it's an expensive weapon. Mr. Stringfellow denies that it was his and doesn't deny that he was there the first time doing his laundry, but says he left right away. I'm actually tending to believe him. So I would like to have further discussion from fellow board members. Also regarding the tests for THC, there does appear to be evidence that his marijuana card had been shown properly and possibly properly approved, although maybe something fell through on the final approval by the parole manager. So we'd like to hear some discussion from fellow board members on this. Mr. Neal.
Well, the marijuana card shouldn't be an issue. It's not part of the warrant.
It's not part of the warrant.
So it shouldn't be an issue, but I agree with what you're saying, because in the program, and he has mentioned that he was in a program and until he received his medical marijuana card.
No, and in phase two, we consider everything. So, in phase two, we consider everything.
We can only do one thing on it. It is community supervision based on one, which doesn't mention that one. You know, we can look at the overall picture, but we've got to look at the allegations of the warrant. And I agree that phase one, because of the way it's done, we're right moving forward, but according to everything else in there, it's her worry that he was in possession of that gun. It was in a case she could have had in the closet, and he might not have known it was there if it wasn't his. And so when the officer was there, he was not there, so he couldn't be claimed to be in physical control or possession. And as far as the physically assaulting behavior, twice she called, twice she didn't give any information, there's no mention of any injuries or anything, it's her word that it happened. He denies that. Looking at it from an investigative point of view, I don't see any probable cause to believe that either one of the allegations are substantiated in this.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Quinones, comments?
I agree with both of you and the follow on that. The charges were dropped, and I find his accounting of the event both possible and probable.
Okay.
And I, in good conscience, could not support revocation.
Thank you, sir. All right, I'm going to make a motion then, and my motion will be that we return Mr. Stringfellow to community supervision under the same conditions that he was under before.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Neal. Agreed, Mr. Quinones, and I'm just going to say continued on supervision, same conditions. Mr. Stringfellow, you heard the board's discussion. You're believing your story. I hope you're being truthful with us. I believe you are. I do strongly urge you to get the restraining order you're talking about as soon as you're released and stay away from that person. And finish your supervision, sir. Make sure if you're going to continue to use your marijuana card, you bring that up again with your parole officer and make sure it is approved by the parole manager, not just your supervisor, parole manager, before you use marijuana, sir. And we wish you the best. Return to your employment. Hopefully we'll never see you in Orange again. All right, sir. Thank you very much. And would you let the CO3 know that your hearing is over, sir? Thank you.